Hallelujah. Are you ready to hear the word this morning? I'm ready to give you the word. And you know, this time of year is kind of like a harvest time. That's what we call it, harvest. And you know, and all these kind of things. You see all the pretty colors of orange with the pumpkins and all the good stuff, squash, cucumbers, but you know, you think about this, but now let's look into this part. What does the Spirit of God produce, right? It produces fruit. Fruit is produced, right, in our spirit, and the things that we say. And we kind of talked about that a little bit last week, but the main thing is that the heart will bring forth evil. Think about it, or it will bring forth good. And the output is the result of the input, right? If you put in, and whatever you put in, it's going to come out. If it's good that you're pouring in, it's going to be good coming out. If you pour in bad, guess what's coming out? Bad. But it's pretty easy to look at. You put in good, good comes out. I'm using good more because I want to put in more good than bad. But we're humans, and sometimes we put in some bad. But you know, a born-again human spirit will have a bad output if you put in a wrong input. Now, what are you talking about now? Well, I'm trying to explain this to you, that being the righteousness of God, as far as known sin is concerned, does not mean you cannot speak evil seed into your heart. Christians do that. We'll say things. They say, oh, man, I shouldn't have said that. I mean, am I the only one that does that, or have they got other people that say that? Yeah. Oh, good. I thought I might have been the only one. But, we're talking about, you put in good, good comes out. And you can be right in your heart. Now think about it. You can be right in your heart. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm right in the heart, but wrong in the head. Think about that. Wrong in the head. And your head will deceive your heart. You understand that, you know, as James said, the heart is the governor of the tongue. You know, I don't know about you. I remember my kids having a small one. I had some when I was smaller, a go-kart. And if you got a cool dad like I did, he'd go there and take the governor off. And most mechanics know when you take the governor off, you can go a little faster. Right? But you understand that Jesus said it, that the heart is the governor. You know, a heart, I don't know about you, but I get ready to say something sometimes, and it's like, oh, no, 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 no. No. Y'all, you feel that, right? It's, oh, no, you better not say that. Or if you do say that, you hear, oh, I shouldn't have said that. Yeah, you understand what I'm saying here. But it's, the heart is the governor of the tongue. That tongue wants to flap, don't it? And your spirit accepts your words as being your will. Your words that you say. The wrong words sow into a human spirit long enough, it will get on the railroad track taking you somewhere else. You see what I'm saying? So we have to understand that your human spirit will lead you to what you confess. Good, bad, or indifference. Yeah, because it's a whole lot of things that come out of our mouth during the day, don't it? I'll just let you simmer on that and think about that for a little while. But Jesus said that the heart is the governor of the tongue. Praise the Lord. And when you realize the power of the Word of God and confess it over your finances, your spirit will work overtime finding ways to bring it to pass what you say. You understand? I mean, God wants to work. The Spirit of God wants to move, as we said one time before about the thermostat. You set it, and that thermostat, that unit, the brain out there, is going to work hard to get to that temperature that's set. So the same thing when we say something, that the Spirit of God is trying to get to that point. You can also say some bad things. I am broke as Cooter Brown. Whoever Cooter is. But you understand what I'm saying? That we're starting the train on the wrong track when we start saying, well, I'm broke. I ain't got this. I ain't got that. Well, you don't ever look for it. Because you keep confessing, and what happens? The Spirit is trying to get you there to where you really broke. You understand? You see what I'm saying? But you know, sometimes it takes weeks, months. It takes a while for the Word of God in the soil of your heart to produce whatever you're saying. I'm believing, you know, just like this church, I'm believing the finances are met each and every time. We have to write a bill for electricity. We have to write a bill for whatever, electricity, water, whatever maintenance goes on around here and everything else. I say it, God's going to take it. It may be a little low sometimes because the operating cost comes straight from your tithes and offerings. You see what I'm saying? So if there's no tithes, low tithes, that, you know, something is like electricity bill, we have to skim. We can't go do something else that we need for the church. We'll pay our bills and then hold off on the others because, like I said, the tithes and offerings only handles the operating costs of the church. And then, you know, like I said, you get ahead, you can get something else. We can get, like, things for the children back there, and we can do different things for the church. But we confess those things over this church. So same thing, you confess that over your life. And, you know, people who don't understand this principle of confessing God's word get very upset when they see others prospering and confessing the word. I mean, I've heard people say that, talk about, we're confessing by faith, what? That bills will be met. At your home, you can say, well, bills will be met, and we are prosperous in our house, and this and that. We can say those things in faith, confessing those things, that it happens. But people get mad at you. You're confessing these things. And a lot of people get mad if they see you driving something. You know, he said, how in the world they afford that? I can tell you, God blesses his people. God will bless him. And I don't care if you're driving it or riding it or whatever it is, God will bless his people because you're confessing it out your mouth. And when you confess it out of your mouth, the Spirit of God is working every kind of which way to make it happen. Right? You know, a lot of times they'll say, well, I just don't understand why their income doubled in three times this year. Hallelujah. They'll say that. I don't understand how. Well, mine went down. Well, he's already confessing his is going down. But I've been in different jobs, and I've seen raises come at the perfect time. Because you're saying, man, I got this, and this broke down. We got to fix that or whatever. But it seems like next minute I know we got a raise. And I said, man, that took care of the situation. And, you know, and another thing I heard people say before, they had a job. And, you know, a good paying job. And all of a sudden they got laid off. Man, what is God, what are you doing? I mean, I had a great job. That might not have been the job God wanted for you to do. But they kept confessing it, that God's fault for getting him fired. God moved him out of this. God has done this. No, it ain't God. It's your confessions that caused that. And what happened? You move right into, God's going to move you right into something better when you start confessing in faith what God's word says. You're going to get better jobs. And I've seen it happen over and I thought I had the best job in the world when I worked at a paper mill. It was good, except it stunk. But I can tell you, it was awesome job. I mean, and then I put in for shift work because I had some projects I was doing, and I said, man, this is all right. But then it changes to 12-hour shifts. I said, now this ain't worth 2 cents. Go in at 6, get off at 6 in the morning, or go in at 6 in the morning, get off at 6 at night. But it was a lot of money. You say, well, why'd you quit? Well, I didn't quit. Got laid off. went to another job, made a whole lot more money than that. Because I never quit tithing. Never. I always tithe my check, whatever it is that I had. It might not have been but a dollar. Because, you know, you look into my checking account and say, no money came in, but I'm not going to give up my tithes for the Lord. Because I learned at an early age that tithing works. And we've seen it. Things come up. And, you know, she'll say, well, I would like to have that. Well, let's go look at it. We look at it. The price seems to be reasonable. Let's get it. Oh, no, that's too much. Let's go. We did that one time. We went to the same place three times before we bought. Four times. We went all over. Went back. Come back. Go back. Come back. I said, what? Look. You have to buy it or just get this out of your mind. She said, well, I'll get it. So we went and we got it, brought it home, put it in the kitchen or whatever that area it is. But you understand what I'm saying? That we kept going around and around and around and around and around and around. But the deal is, if God said, well, God wants to bless his children, right? Yeah, he don't mean go spend all your money on gas going all over the world. God wants to bless you. Go right there and say, oh, yeah, I like that. Let's go home with me. Praise the Lord. But you understand what I'm saying, that God will supply our needs, right? And we saw that. You see something that you want, and you know you got the money for it, and God's going to bless you. And you, I mean, I'm not saying now if you don't tithe. Now I've seen people do that. They didn't tithe. I'm just saving it for a rainy day. And what happened? It rained on them all day until they started tithing. But then you see in the vehicle they have a stack of lotto tickets about that thick. Are you getting anything out of that? No, I'll leave. I can throw these away. These ain't no good. You spent that much? I can remember one time before somebody said, stop before you get into Texas and buy a lotto ticket or whatever. I said, man, I don't even know what they look like. And he says, you never bought a lotto ticket? I said, no. I'm not saying I love of money, but I love my money that I can be able to afford things. I'm not going to spend a whole bunch of money. And if you buy them, that's fine. That praise the Lord. I hope you win the millions. Because if you do, I mean, can you imagine what 10% of a million is? Praise the Lord. I mean, that's up to you and God. It's up to you. I mean, can you imagine? What was it, $280-something million dollars? Do the 10% of that. Woo! We could start on that new property back there, putting that new building up back there. So how you going to fill it up? I said, you build it, they'll come. Praise the Lord. So you got to understand that God wants to bless his people. And there's a fruit about it because, well, it produces a fruit. Why? Because what you say out of your mouth. But you understand what I said. You get a good job and, you may lose it. You may tell them, there's a big layoff going on. I guess I'll lose my job. Well, guess what? You just loaded up your baggage and you're on the track to losing your job. So we have to understand. If they lose, somebody says something about a layoff, well, guess what? God's got something better. How many times you heard that? You're starting to train up to go down the track that you want. Praise the Lord. He's got something better for me. And I can tell you, God does have something better. God doesn't want you to be just sitting right where you are. Like it's your jobs and stuff like that. God wants to promote you. Have you ever been promoted at a job? I remember when I first started in the paper mill, I was working there, and all of a sudden, I got promoted, and I lost all my friends because they were there, and I got promoted and had to go somewhere else. But it was a lot more money. Praise the Lord. Suppose you make this statement. I want you to think about this. If anybody gets laid off at the plant, I'll be the first one. I've heard people say that, and I've seen them go out the door first. And, by speaking this over and over, you will eventually deceive your heart. In other words, you're opening up, you made the foundation to get out the door first. Your human spirit will act on these words that you just said, and it will search avenues of God's wisdom to find out how it can be done. You say, well, God do that? No, you said it. that I'll be the first to leave. And also another thing, you're doing your work unto God, right? Supposed to be. But you may have gone around the corner and kind of stirred up some stuff about your boss. Or you may have come in late. You don't come in on time. You ever, you know, you understand what I'm saying? You, if they say be there for 7, I can remember at PHI, they said be there for 7. I was there at 6:15. Went and ate breakfast. But we were there at 7 o'clock. So you understand what I'm saying? That God wants to bless his people. And you know, and you don't, and like I said, when you're talking about the boss, you're not doing your work unto the Lord, guess what? You could be the first one to get laid off. God has nothing to do with it. God has nothing to do with it. The words you spoke deceived, what? Your heart, that you planted that word in your heart and it came to pass. Just like you plant cucumber seeds. Guess what? You're going to get a cucumber. If you're expecting an apple, you're not going to get it. You planted a seed of a cucumber. You plant a seed of, I got a lemon tree growing right now. It's about that tall. I planted that little seed and that thing took off. But it's a lemon tree. I planted a lemon seed. Matter of fact, I want you to look in James 3, verse 6. James 3, verse 6. And it says, and among all the parts of the body, the tongue is the flame of fire. It is the whole world of wickedness, corrupting your entire body. It can set your whole life on fire, for it is set on fire by hell itself. Did you ever hear someone sneeze and say, I believe I'm getting the flu? Oh, I believe I got that old COVID thing. I believe I'm getting that flu. I believe I'm coming down with something. Guess what? What they planted, they sure ain't gonna get apples. And every time a symptom hits their body, the first thing they want to do is tell somebody, I guess I got the COVID. I guess I got the flu. I guess I got whatever it is going around. I guess I got whatever. You know, I guess I'm coming down with it. And you describe it, the symptoms, to people that you know, that agree with you. You ever had people do that? You got some that say, oh, no, you're not sick. And then you got some over here, oh, poor baby. Poor thing. Well, I know what you're talking about. That's the way the flu starts. I want you to read Matthew 18:19. You'll look at this scripture a whole lot different today. Matthew 18:19 says, I also tell you this, if you two of you agree here on earth concerning anything you ask, my Father in heaven will do it for you. Now you see what I'm saying? These two people are talking about, that's how the flu starts, and they're agreeing. See what a lot of people take this, and if you want to run with it, I know God says, you know, we agree here on earth, but also we got to be careful. We start talking about, oh, we got the flu. Oh, I got the COVID. Oh, I got this. I got that. And, you know, all this good stuff that, well, it's flu season coming up. I guess we'll get it. Be careful of who agrees. It says right there, I tell you this, if two of you agree here on earth concerning anything you ask, my Father in heaven will do it for you. So guess what? Get you some Kleenex because you're coming down with the flu. Because you're agreeing for it. You're agreeing and saying, look, this is how it starts. Oh, yeah, you sneezing. That's how it is. And your eyes are running. And look at you. You're going to be a mess. And you say, yeah, I already feel bad. You two of y'all agreeing on it, and guess what? Get you some Kleenex because you're going to need it. Because you're going to be blowing your nose for a while. And several years ago, I can remember I started to say something else. And so when I sneezed, and I began to say, thank God I'm taking a healing. You ever said that before? You know, and this lady, well, that heard me say that, she said, I thought you already healed. I said, I am. I'm storing it up. I'm putting it in the storage bin for when I really need it. You see what I'm saying? And you know, your words can cause a circuit of physical effects in your body. God cannot be out-talked. whatever way a man speaks, that same way will he also walk. And what you say is truly what you will produce. So be careful on what we say and what we do about different things that go on. And, you know, we just said, be careful who your friends are. They may be your close friend, but if they're agreeing with you, remember that scripture that we just read in Matthew 18:19. They're agreeing with you, so that means God's going to bring it back. He's going to let it happen because he's not going to go against his word. Now, can you imagine talking about healing in your body? And when somebody says, yeah, I believe that God wants to heal your body. He has done it. And he has done it. He sent Jesus to the cross. Jesus died for our healing. And we are. We walk in divine health. That's somebody you want to agree with. Hallelujah. You know, don't come up there and say, oh, man, look like your eyes are all puffy. You look like you coming down with something, your sinuses. I mean, you've been sneezing. That's the way it starts. Don't agree with them people. Run. Stay away from those kind of people. Because we don't want them to agree with anything. And first thing, we shouldn't have to say it out of our mouth that way. Praise the Lord. Did you get anything out of this today? Hallelujah. And I believe God wants to work on you today. He wants to do the plan that he has for you. And it's to walk in divine health. Praise the Lord.